We're thankful to God that He allowed us to again meet today for worship. We pray that everything that is said and done, even this hour, will be pleasing with Him. I want you to pay close attention to the lesson tonight, because this is a matter of life and death. The gospel of Christ is truly a matter of life and death. It is said that the gospel, in its essence, is a two-edged sword. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Two-edged sword. God has as much saving power as He does condemning power. But when we want life, we want to go to the source of life. We have to go to the source of life. In John chapter 1 and verse 2, speaking of the Word, which is the Logos, the Word of God, He said, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." So in Christ was life. In John 14:6, Jesus told the apostles, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This was in answer to the Apostle Thomas's question, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." The very thought and the very fact that Jesus is the life means anything separate from Jesus and His teaching is not life. A man's prayer one time was quite impressive, and he used in his prayer the statement, "Lord, help me to live while I'm alive. Help me to savor each day, each hour, Lord, that You gave me. Help me to be thankful for the very life I have. That's the way I can really live while I'm alive." But Christ, being the source of life, He gives us life. He says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You can not only live in Christ in this world, but you can live more abundantly. You can enjoy all of the blessings of being in Christ while you're living. More than that, He offers us life that we can't even imagine now. He offers us everlasting life after we leave this earth. Once we go to the grave, that's not the end. That's just a transition between the physical life and the spiritual life that is to follow. But when we think of how to have life and how to avoid death, we think of Paul's concluding statement in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. He said, "The wages or the payment of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." You see, God is not paying us. It's a gift. There's nothing that we can do. There's not enough that we can do that we can say, "I have earned eternal life. And if He gives, if I have eternal life, it's because I earned it." No, no. But if I work for Satan, he pays wages. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, and this is hard to absorb completely, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only through Jesus Christ our Lord. But while we're here, our life is tested. Not only are we tested physically in many ways, but what we do in the work of the Lord shall also be tested. There are some who are deceiving themselves and living under some denominational rule, who think that they're saved under man-made doctrines. But Paul told the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man shall be made manifest, and it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire is going to try our work. This reminds us in South Africa and, of course, many other places in the world where they mine gold. That gold goes through tremendous heat in furnaces. And as it goes through the process, more and more of the impurities fall out in ash and slag and other forms. But when it finally gets down to the last, only the pure gold, liquid pure gold, flows out into the molds making ingots. It's tried by fire. And this gold withstands all the fire, so you know it's pure gold. And he said, the fire of God's word is going to try your work of what sort it is. So we have to have God's authority for everything we do. We have to give God the glory for everything we are able to do. And our work will be tried. All that really means to us is that before we do something or before we think about doing something, let's see if it's all right with God. Let's see if we have His permission. Let's go back to the instruction book and see if that's all right for us to do it. But our life will certainly determine our destiny. Jesus used some wonderful, very clear, easy to understand illustrations in Matthew chapter 7, for example. He said, verses 24 and 25, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Now, in Palestine, where Jesus walked and lived much of his life, the earth is composed many places of just sand and rock. A lot of it wouldn't even begin to grow a crop. There's nothing but sand and rock on a lot of it. So he said, just picture now, and they understood about houses. They built houses out of mud bricks and rocks. But he said, just imagine now you build this house, but you don't dig down for solid rock. You just build the house here on the sand. Now, they don't get hard rains very often over there, but they get what they call the early rain and the latter rain. And when it rains those two seasons, it really rains. And the water runs, surface water can be quite swift and takes everything with it. So he says, if you hear what I say and do it, you're going to be like unto a person that did dig down to solid rock. And when the rains descended, now get this, the rains descended from above, the winds blew from each side, and the floods came from beneath. They're getting you from every side, aren't they, Jerry? Then your house will stand because it's built on rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a man that built his house on the sand. The same rains descended, the same winds blew, the same floods came up, and what happened? The house fell. Now he's saying to these people, listen to what I'm saying here because it's a matter of life and death. If you will understand what I'm saying, and if you will obey what I'm saying, you're going to live. Your house is going to, your spiritual house is going to stand, and you're going to live. You're going to be saved. But if you hear what I have to say and don't do it, you're going to perish. Physically, of course, all of us are going to die, but spiritually you're going to perish because you simply didn't do anything. Now we're going to look at the next part. Life ends and death occurs. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How did death come into the world to begin with? Because of sin. Because of sin. Man could not then live forever. Death had to occur. Now, so death had passed upon all men, but the very fact that death has passed on because of sin is exacerbated by the fact that we all sin. So if I perish, I'm not going to perish because of the sins of Adam and Eve, the first ones that sinned. I'm going to perish because of what I did, because of my own sin. We only live once. There are those going around and telling you about the millennium, the thousand-year reign, and the purge, and the and what is that other word they use? Rapture, which is not even Bible teaching. It's nowhere in the Scriptures. And they teach about all this stuff. But I asked a man one time that was telling me that. He came up in my driveway while I was working out there, and he got to talking to me. And I said, well, what does this have to do with my living, my everyday life, with the way I treat my neighbor, with the way I communicate with God? What does it have to do with that? He said, well, nothing. I said, well, let me ask you this then. Do I have to be a member of your religious organization before I can be saved? He said, no. I said, then what are you doing in my driveway? Why are you here? Folks, the Word of God is all we need. But we do need it. And we need all of it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If there's a scripture I don't like, can I leave it out? I can't leave it out. Well, what if I want the Bible to teach something that it doesn't teach? Can I add a verse in here and there? Can't do that either. Can't do that. Because those are not words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, they came from somewhere else. We must have faith. We absolutely must have faith. In Hebrews 9, beginning with verse 27, he said, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm going to live once in this life, and I'm going to die once, and then comes what? Then comes the rapture? Then comes the millennium? The thousand? No. What comes? The judgment. That's easy to understand, isn't it? You live, you die, then you go before the judge of all the earth. Simple, easy to understand. So he said, we do that once. Christ was offered once. Christ doesn't have to die many times. It only happens once. And to them that look for him, that's you and me, we look for him, we anticipate his coming. We're not fearful of dying because on the other side it's going to be better than it is here. We're not going to have all the pain. We're not going to have all the anxieties, all the disappointments, all the tears, all the problems. I'm not going to have those. So it's better on the other side, isn't it? So we look for him, and for those who look for him shall he appear. How? The second time without sin unto salvation. I want my soul to be pure when Christ comes again. That's why I need to pray quite often, because my attitude's not right sometimes. My patience runs thin sometimes. My temper might get away with me sometimes. Are those gross sins like murder and all of that? It's just as condemning. It's just as bad. Because a sin can condemn your soul. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "If ye believe not that I am he, who will die in your sins." I want to get rid of my sins. I want to get rid of my sins. When I came into this world, I came into this world sinless. Little baby. Baby can't commit sin. But then I began to grow up and I understood right from wrong. And I did some wrong things. And then as I got older, I did some wrong things purposely. What's that? That's sin. Then when I came to the realization that I was lost, I did what the Bible tells me to do, and I was baptized into Christ, and that washed away those sins, and they're gone. They're gone forever. I don't have to answer for those in judgment. God's not going to call me to answer for things that I did before I was baptized into Christ, because they're gone. He remembers them no more. Then, after I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I was fine for a while. And then I sinned. Isn't that what we all do? Isn't that what happens? What am I going to have to do? Go back and be baptized again? No. No. He has told me that I need to repent of my sin and pray God for the forgiveness of that sin. And what happens? It's gone again. The sin is gone. And I don't have to answer for that sin now because it's been forgiven. And this can go on for the rest of your life. That every time you fail, every time you sin, you don't want to sin every time, but it happens. You pray to God and say, "Please, Lord, forgive me. I didn't want to do that and I'm not going to do it anymore." And He'll forgive you. Every time. 7 times a day. 70 times 7 a day. That's what He told us to do, and He said that's what He does. But we have a decision to make here. And it's a clear choice. Moses told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, "See, I have set before you life and good, death and evil. If you do this, you get life and good. If you do this, it's death and evil." Clear choice. Are we going to follow God, he asked the Israelites, or are we going to follow idols? You've got to make a decision here. Joshua. Oh, I love the writings of Joshua. And we've all, I guess, memorized chapter 24, verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But," now here's the decision, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Strong decision. No indecision here. No hem-hawing about it. No standing trying to make up your mind what you're going to do. He said, "You people make up your mind. Now, as for me and my family, we're going to serve Jehovah. We're going to serve God." And that's a decision that you and I individually need to make. Whatever course other people choose, that's their decision. But as for me, I am going to serve the Lord. And then once you've made that decision, you serve the Lord. Because if you start and then miss the activities that you once did, Jesus described that. He said, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." If you start to live for God, and then you turn around and and lust after the things of the world, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. In order for you to get yourself fit, you've got to make the right decisions here. I'm going to completely leave that stuff alone now because it's no good. It's proven to be no good. When we obey the gospel, we have life. Jesus said, John 5:24, "He that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." We are in the realm of death before we obey the Lord, and we cross over, now we're in the realm of life. Isn't that beautiful? And that's the way it is. Now, in order for me to stay over here, I have to keep on obeying Him. I have to keep on avoiding sin. I have to keep on keeping myself clean. In conclusion, we are physically alive. That means that we will physically die. Living for Christ means eternal life. Living without Christ means eternal death. And there's no other conclusion you can come to. There's no other answer. And it's truly a matter of life and death. Do you plan to obey the gospel someday? And we use the term someday in parentheses here. What day is that going to be? When do you plan on doing it? Do you plan on being restored someday? What day is that going to be? Is that going to be next week, next month? Are you going to be alive next week or next month? When are you going to do that? Let that day be now, today. If you're subject to the call of the wonderful gospel of Christ, please come now as we stand and sing.